parents can hear me.
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast, exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, J.Y. Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. It's set to at the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Sunday, March 23rd, 1986. Once again, thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 2, Show Number 4, a meditation on the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Sunday, March 23rd, 1986, Special Philly, Set 2. There are murmurings, there are whispers, there is a distinct burp of sound, a sign of a chance, and the drums to count it off, and then the affirmation. Fucking shakedown. Is this the show of the tour or what? Until tomorrow. Phil says shakedown, and so a shakedown it shall be. Maybe we had too much too fast, but the mind dances with possibilities and parallels. Philly, 82. Merriweather, 85. And now Philly, 86. Wishful thinking? Jerry spaces the words, and it doesn't even register. Philly has got heart, soul, and thousands of fans ready to defend their turf until their last day. And when it comes to a massive wall of funk, spunk, and 10 minutes or so of a shakedown, it is enough to drown us completely in this musical whirlpool, silencing any objections from the area of town formerly known as the sunny side of the street. Objections overruled when the proverbial engines are firing and the arena is lit up in the colors of the Grateful Dead. The atmosphere is filled with fire, fun, bandanas, tie-dye, not tie-dye, hippies, parents, 20-somethings, older people, ex-metalheads, and high school girls attending their first show, all growing more comfortable in their skin. It's college students, Guidos, and guys simply looking to have a good time. The flip side of the positivity coin is that somewhere out there, a counterbalance exists. Since no one is actually listening to our thoughts right now, we are tempted to snort out a dismissive, sucks for them, but we've been there. Curled up in despair, not knowing why we were born or why enjoyment is preloaded with guilt. Sin exists, surrounding us at all times. It is to be inhaled and held inside forever until it permeates among the molecules, cells, and sinew that make up your corporal being in order for others to prosper. That's what they taught us in the special school we attended. There, we learned that personal happiness comes at the expense of others' misery. Understanding this dynamic is paramount to navigating our relationships and life choices. Yet, this can be mitigated by living a calm and even life, the middle way, the way of the glide, as it was called. We recall Mistress Eldon and her stoic message, you must glide through life as quietly as a swan gliding across a still lake. Their effort produces no turbulence, causes no harm or distress to the surface of the water, nor does it upset the balance of its surrounding area. To this state, you must aspire. Didn't quite work out that way. And now, acquiring sins has become our guilty pleasure. We have too many. Our bodies have become infested with them. They ooze forth, escaping from our pores as we sweat. Now we must seek out those who are suffering due to our extreme happiness. They exist. They are attracted to our abundance, a symbiotic relationship. They have gathered to scoop up what we no longer need. The dead ask us to poke around, so poke around we shall. And if it means overturning every rock and looking inside every closet here, we will find them. The song is about to end, and with it, our level of sustained happiness, signifying we will never find the object of our desire. Phil digs in with some vibrational bombs that resonate so sharply in our chest that they blast us back a few rows. We land among a scattering of folding chairs. Amid silent apologies, we hear a whimper, like that of a lost kitten. We remove the chairs to get to the source of the cry, and surprisingly find a small child. The child is wearing a handmade, stained, white one-piece garment. We recognize the smell, the cut, and the texture. We are forced to wear the same outfit on weekends on our way to the special school our parents made mandatory, which led to our being ridiculed by other children. We encourage this child to take our hand. It bears a scar similar to the one we got when we were 5 from a barbed wire fence. We know exactly what must be done. We pull the child into our arms and carry them forward, just in time for service on this Palm Sunday. Samson and Delilah. Bobby rides in on the donkey of sound, with discarded garments lining the path before him that leads to salvation. Church is in session. Preach it, Bobby. The time has come to heal our inner child, the child in our arms, and the child who has kept us from ever enjoying life because of an outdated set of religious beliefs. If I had my way. Oh, it's time. Time to tear this place down, all right. No, not the spectrum. You just spent the better part of 10 minutes convincing us not to give up on Philly. You'll get our spectrum when you pull the spirit of the Broad Street bullies out of the Fred Shiro fog. Instead, tear down the building that enslaved you with a fear of the unknown, fear of doing wrong in front of those with power, fear of stating your true intentions, and fear of letting everyone down, including those you haven't yet met. An impossible chore. It's impossible to do right by everyone. It's impossible to be liked by everyone. It's impossible to break those chains. Impossible to tear it all down. It is time to listen to Bobby the Preacher, full of spit and fire and words that pierce your heart deeper than you thought they could. On this Palm Sunday, Bobby brilliantly portrays Samson, narrating the story with a measured cadence. This is the weekend education we've always wanted, and we listen intently. Feel the power, the glory, and the satisfaction of finally conquering your fears to become the strongest version of yourself. Be the master of your environment. Make it count. A life constricted by self-defeating codes stunted growth. But Samson has the willpower to break the chains and outdated memories. You are free. As Garcia splits the sky with grit, energy, and determination, the child flies from our grasp and dissolves into a bright red light. He is the lion, the ego, the sun itself, a pure flame bent on dissolving every last measure of uncertainty from your being. It shoots up to the roof, opening a hole in the spectrum that sucks out the blackness we have held inside us for far too long. We would like to follow, but as a final message, the black smoke puts a single finger to its lips and urges us to be quiet. Its eyes speak. It is your turn to stay. Take this, go forward, and spread the light. The taste of true freedom at last. Freedom from sacrifice. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from sin. If we had our way, more Sundays would be like tonight. They should have set the entire Bible to music. We'd have remembered more. Not a bad idea for a musical. Call it The Book. Auditions for The Creator and His Son begin next Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Studio J. That's right. He's gone. A cooling-off period, chock full of famous lines. Just follow the bouncing ball on the Jumbotron. And if you think you know better, step aside and let Garcia read it. Lord knows our lyrically challenged leader could use the help. The man is lyrically lost, but remains musically found. Besides, we are a forgiving bunch whose lives are far from perfect. Jerry may make a few mistakes, but his guitar playing has already transported an entire arena full of people into another realm. Those who finally rid themselves of the inner child do not mourn for a second that he's gone. We needn't imagine the strict father figures that have tormented them over the years. Let them be. Let them have their peace. We are joined with thousands of others for one of the best Grateful Dead shows we've ever seen, and it isn't even over yet. The show is magic and a tonic for all the pressure we carry. There's that word again. What pressure? The pressure to be perfect? Look at your heroes up there. They are far from perfect. You'd need more than one hand to count the errors in this song alone. But does that make them less endearing? Of course not. Imperfections don't equate you to being worthless. Worthless was not the intended word, but you thought it nonetheless. Life is to play, fabricate, and explore, because without such things, what is the point of living anyway? Color outside the lines if you want. Fill them with any color you like. In this environment, such actions are encouraged rather than frowned upon. Like right there, the subtle movement when the brush stroke of genius sweeps us underneath a tight little spoonful. Would it have happened with a stern art teacher overseeing this exercise? They would have forced a trucking onto you, because that's what they were taught is proper. In response, one might say, well, that's why you're an art teacher instead of an artist. This is art. Behold. Spoonful. No way, no how. Show this to the art teachers, the music teachers, and those English teachers who took perverse delight in crushing a child's creative dreams before they could bloom properly. Bob goes very old school bluesy about it. Men lies about it. cries about it, but there ain't no getting around it. Everyone needs a spoonful. How about you? What's your choice? A spoonful of anything you could imagine. What would it be? This isn't a taste test. It's an honest question. Some might say honey, gold, or a taste of your deceased Nonna's spaghetti sauce, although she always called it gravy. A spoonful of the breeze that blew across the field on your wedding day, of her scent, of the warmth of the sun cast upon a lover's cheek as they slept. All acceptable. Just a spoonful, no more, no less. Think about it. It's gotten way down low here on the floor. Quiet as a mouse, you might say. The proverbial calm before the storm. A lull into a false sense of security. The echoes of cliches past break through our filter, even as we prepare other descriptive ways. Original sentences and ideas are swallowed up by the machine. Writing and thinking must cease. The Grateful Dead have sucked us into their ecosystem. We have become fodder, a quick meal, an organism bred in aquariums to feed the fish that will eventually nourish the band's peripheral members. This is heavy, heavy, meditative, and downright prehistoric. Thunder dragons are in our midst. We hear them, corralled beneath the floor, welling upward. Silence is not golden. It is an ugly rust, the mottled green that has overtaken a once revered bronze statue. Please bring the vibe back up. Do something, shouts our inner 20-something. We need action or we're going to lose it. Okay, try snapping your fingers as hipsters do at a poetry reading from the 50s. It's all cool. Drums. Drums? We'll just have to dance it off. An unexpected free fall into the abyss finds us fraternizing with deep-sea fish that flash luminescent patterns. And if we blink hard enough, we can communicate with Mickey and Bill on stage the same way. We know they see us. It's only we who brave their subharmonic storm. It is beautiful, rearranging our particles so we can decode the intricate fragments of air emanating from the main speakers. We frantically write down the code, then decide it's too important for the rest of mankind and end up eating the paper. Too much, too fast. A fatal mistake. The show is nearing its conclusion, while we are on the verge of embarking on an epic journey around the globe with no one to accompany us. Again, we are all alone. The drummers sense our deviant behavior, and this time, there is nowhere to hide. Such an easy target. The hippie disguise you bought in the lot still has that never-washed-in-your-home detergent smell. As it mixes with your skin, it gives off a familiar scent of which the drummers are acutely aware. They direct the force of their music towards you, a target. Sound is bound to resonate off you for the remainder of this drum session. If they so please, they can communicate to the rest of the band that you have been marked, at least through space. Wouldn't that suck? Sucks as it may, there's no denying this is the most exploratory and mind-bending drum session of the tour. The duo has successfully channeled an entire civilization of sentient beings to assist us in our circumnavigation so we can return in time for space. The magnitude of the undertaking is lost in the hypersonic speed at which we travel. An array of colors, the white out, and then it's over. Not a single moment recalled. They assure us we will. As possessors of the code, we can regurgitate any scene, any time, and any place with a single act. Traveling is no longer necessary. We are everywhere. We can fold time and space. We feel all that is to be known. An ancient encyclopedia of the world packed inside. We have access because we ate the code. Space. Maybe we shouldn't have. Now we are the code, and a desirable one at that. There are plenty of folks who would love nothing more than to come along and crack us. Our job is to act normal, ignoring the authorities, the police, the hunters, the gatherers, and the shakedown artists. They've been in the game a long time, but they'll never get to us. The code is hidden too deep inside. Inside a place we're still unsure exists on the physical plane. The aforementioned sentient beings who placed it there understood how to retrieve it and use it freely, but it's doubtful mere mortals could ever find use for the code. Besides, we don't look the part, or do we? According to them, the last code planting occurred at Merriweather Post Pavilion on 6/30/85. They played a Shakedown, Samson, He's Gone that night. They played a Shakedown, Samson, He's Gone tonight too. Wait, they got a cryptical and we got a spoonful. So, by that logic, we are safe. No code breakers are going to come and ruin our fun. Unless that guy over there is undercover. He He wasn't dancing that hard, and his shoes looked pretty white. And that girl? Her hair is long, but the smell is too fresh. She's in on it, too. And this guy. And that one. Hell, anyone and everyone can be in on it. In fact, they are. This whole show is an elaborate setup, a ruse to sacrifice the host, who exists only to propagate the code into an updated version. Come on, play something. Take this thing from us and place it inside the music, its rightful place, to be shared and interpreted into thousands of ways. We never asked for it, never wanted it in the first place. Resigned to our fate, we slump over, exhausted. A predatory other one winds along. We can smell it before we see it, a benefit of our gift. Don't let it know you're afraid, and it won't bite. But that's what they used to tell us about our neighbor's nasty dachshund stormtrooper, that fucker. It bit you every time it could, just out of spite. The other one. We wanted the power. We wanted a frenzy. We wanted a dance. We got it. Now what? And what was that scream? The hounds of hell have been let loose to run through the aisles. And wouldn't you know, they're friggin' dachshunds. It figures. The little bastards excitedly nip at ankles and knees at will. Get to the chairs! With deadheads herded into satisfactory factions, the tribal elders have decided that tonight there shall be a feast. Beware. Before every feast comes a sacrifice, chosen by Bobby himself. The guy in the white shoes is dancing hard, and my God, look at the girl. She is a wild banshee unleashed from the pages of an 18th century opium-addicted British horror writer. We, however, are not dancing. Maybe we are the cause, not the solution. Get into it. Hurry up and get into it before it gets you. This is not an other one for the faint of heart. The band has unleashed their own particular flock of hounds with wings and olfactory systems attuned to sniff out all phonies, which they grab in their jaws and carry away behind the stage, where they are dropped into a sacrificial pit and covered with a heavy iron lid to muffle their protests. The darkest night is riddled with a flanger-enhanced voice. Slash through the voice, pretend it's not real. The whole thing is a dream. It is a dream. Just make it stop. Just then, something comes around. Slowly, it comes around. Comes again. And ask you to come inside, my friend. Come, it's okay. Come into the safe haven of a comes a time. Comes a time. We thought you'd never ask. Thank you for this opportunity and for explaining the power of love. We accept the privilege of witnessing such onstage majesty. Now, how to translate this experience for the masses. How to confidently empty your cup, now overflowing, secure in the knowledge that, yes, once again, it will be filled. Believe, with a capital S for Santa Claus, that's how each and every one of us discovers the power within. We embody the Buddha, embody the jewel in the lotus, serve as witnesses, and stand as judges, yet we are not worthy to receive such a blessing. This road tonight has been one of the hardest we have ever taken, but then again, never has the reward been so great. Perhaps it's not as sweet as 76, 77, or even 80, but this is the sweetest cup we've ever tasted. And as a reference to the earlier question about spoonful preferences, our unequivocal answer is a spoonful of whatever substance fills the cup inside a comes a time. It is the final reward waiting at the end of the path of toil. And if only love can fill such a cup, then let us be the first to let our love bleed out tonight as a token of thanks for persevering through the torment this show has inflicted. Let our love be the guide so we can help others in similar situations find their way home safely. Beautiful. And we didn't even comment on the music. But was that even music? Good lovin'. With catharsis comes the celebration. Breathe easy, folks. The long, hard ride has passed. And you too have passed. We all passed. We got the fever, and we got the cure. We've taken a bite out of the fur of the dog that bit us. Probably a dachshund. Party time at last. Let the navel gazing and the inner dialogue rest. We are going to pull out of this one, and Dr. Weir and company are here to help us do just that. No worries, no more problems, just a big fat dose of the good old Grateful Dead and a few thousand of your best friends grooving until the music orders you to stop. The cup of love has overflowed, flowing like a river down the steps and onto the floor, immersing us in a bubble party not even the wildest Ibiza disco could emulate. This is not machine-made. It is born of the real love felt between real humans, an outpouring of emotion that refuses to be contained. Bob takes us higher and higher with each verse. But you know what this Sunday show really needs? That's right, a sermon. And there's no one more qualified than the Reverend Dr. Bobby Weir to deliver it. Take it away, Bobby. Sunday night, so it's sermon time. I'm going to do my best and make it rhyme. Bobby delivers a sermon to the masses, and we receive it with gratitude. A big old amen to that. Couldn't have summed it up any better, but we'll try. We need this kind of light any way we can get it. Sometimes it feels like we can just reach out and grab this light, hold it tight with all our might, make it right, and say good night. Okay, then. Class dismissed. End of set. Encore. Day. Job. A song eventually dropped at the behest of deadheads everywhere. But after tonight's meat grinder, a one-time pass is granted. And since we ate that whole sheet of code, we're going pretty hard. So guess what? We are going for it as hard as we can. Naysayers be damned. It's a day job for the ages, with spunk, attitude, and a reality check that goes unheeded. We'll take this warning and stick it in the glove compartment with all the other day job warnings we've gotten. No one cares. We must be having more fun than anyone else here, as we feel a tug and a pull and suddenly find ourselves inside a Dr. Seuss book where we are instructed to spit out some lyrics. Day job snares. It goes here, there, and everywhere. From the floor, up the stairs, out the door. Windows locked, safe inside. This encore rule you will abide. Bullshit. The best day job ever.
Thank you. Good night.
And with that, the dead have left the building. Oh no, that was everyone else. Well, not us. We're still here, whooping at the house lights. We love our day job, and we would never want to work the night shift. Our friend's mom is a nurse, and she was always cranky the day after her night shift. Not to mention home at odd hours, so we never knew if it was cool to go there and smoke cigarettes after school. Speaking of smoking, that was a smoking show. So far, it has been the best of the four for us, but others may see it differently. And that is the beauty of the Grateful Dead experience, the right to disagree. One thing we can definitely agree on is that we will see you tomorrow. Philly, you fucking rock. End of show. Hope you had a good one. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. And we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to drop us a line anytime. See you next show on Grateful Shows. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.